On the night that he is to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples. As the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Gospel of the Lord. In these Sundays after Easter, I'm providing a sermon series about God. Today's topic is, how do we learn about God? How do we know God? From the Gospel text, Thomas asks, "Lord, how can we know the way?" Do you know the way? How do we learn the way of God? Well, how do we learn at all? I was watching two small children learn as I sat in the airport recently waiting on a flight. These two were way too young for school. In fact, they were still in diapers, and they were, I guess, toddlers. They were just looked like they had just recently learned to walk. One child belonged to a parent who continually called out to the child as she sat and peered over her phone, "Don't do that. Don't touch that. Leave that alone. Put that down." Now, the other parent had a very different approach. She would walk slightly behind her child as he explored all the curiosities of his new surroundings. And as the child touched and saw and smelled different things, the mother would help by putting words with the new sensation that the child was experiencing. As the child touched the chrome leg of a seat and looked at his mother, she responded, "Oh, it feels cool." And the child would squint at the sunlight as it was coming through the big windows there, to which the mother responded, "It is bright." So every new sensation became basically a learning experience for this child. The mother helped by putting the words with each new sensation. And I think about these two children. I think we don't change all that much as we get older. We see adults in the clothing store feeling the different fabrics as they walk by the rack. We see adults in the produce section of the grocery store squeezing, maybe smelling the different foods as they decide which to take home. So think about our senses in terms of learning, especially our Christian learning. We want to know Christ, so we hear the good news of the gospel proclaimed. Our hearing calls us into action. It's how we learn. We taste the bread and wine of communion. Our tasting empowers us to leave here for service. We smell the disinfectant of the hospital room or the nursing home room when we go to visit the ill or the elderly. We touch the hand of another to offer support at difficult times in life. Through our experiencing, through our sensing, the gospel becomes part of our lives. Becomes the way. Especially here at church, we join together as partners in the gospel with a commitment to learn about God. That's why we offer all these educational opportunities, especially on Sunday mornings. We provide experiences for living in a faith family, what we call a church community. We provide avenues for growth through worship, chances to examine and explore firsthand the joy of integrating faith into life by putting it into practice and living together in a faith community. We offer encouragement to continue living our faith in everyday life by serving, and we take serving seriously here. Why? Why do we do all this? So that we may learn of God, that we may know the way. It is a universal quest to understand God, to understand God's will for our lives. In fact, I cannot tell you the number of times I have met with parents of young children who ask this one simple question about knowing God. The parent will ask, how can I, as a parent, know what God wants for my child's life? I love that. That is a fantastic question. Question that every parent should ask for their child, a question that we should all ask for ourselves. How can I know what God wants me to do with my life? What a good question. But I'll be honest, I'm not so sure that Jesus wants us to look that far ahead. I'm convinced that what Jesus calls us to do is solve the problem of what we should be doing today. After all, he's the one who said quite pointedly, take no thought of tomorrow, of what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Don't worry about tomorrow, he says. You have enough problems for this day. Are we going to do what God wants us to do today? That's the big God question, especially as we learn of God and come to know Christ. What does God want us to do today? What does God want us to achieve this day? And here's something that happened here, and I've told this story, but it happened years ago, so I feel like I got preacher's right to tell it again. Okay, so it's been a while. This was back on a Wednesday night. We used to teach confirmation on Wednesday nights, and that gave us a chance once a month to take a little field trip to go out. And this particular year, we had adopted the Farragut Nursing Home. The last name it had was Summit Ridge Nursing Home. Is that Summit View? Summit View. It's down Kingston Pike. You remember where old Ott's Barbecue used to be? It's now the big Kahuna chicken thing. Right across the street, it's now closed. It's that nursing home there. So we would go there. We would go there once a month from the confirmation and take all of our confirmation students. I had one student, and I could picture him. His name was Matt. He was a big, big teenage boy. He and his family had they've already moved from Knoxville. His mom got a really nice promotion in Charlotte. But while he was here in confirmation, it was obvious that he did not want to be in the class. Some kids are dropouts. He was a drop-off. I think his parents just barely slowed down enough to push him out the door of the car to go to confirmation. And a lot of parents are like that with confirmation. They're not really engaged in church, but they tell their kid, I had to do this, so you have to do it. So Matt was there, and he was there against his will. That was very clear, big Matt. So our class went to the nursing home, and it was December, so we sang carols, and we gave everybody a little poinsettia. We delivered the flowers into the rooms, and then we went into the activity room to sing Christmas carols. We would always sing. And this big boy, Matt, he did not come up front and sing with us. In fact, he was in the back row, arms folded, and we were doing our thing up front without him. And all of a sudden, someone is tugging at Matt's arm. He looked down, and here was this old man in a wheelchair. And the old man kept tugging at his arm. So finally, big boy, very awkwardly, took the old man's hand, and the old man held Matt's hand all during the sing-along. I don't think we went in January. I think we might have got canceled by the weather, but we went back in February and we delivered Valentine's. And again, we did another sing-along. Again, big boy did not want to participate, but the old man in the wheelchair came and found him. And before we were finished singing, I looked up and they were holding hands together again in the back row. We went again in March. Same thing happened with the old man and the boy. And then again in April, we went to hand out Easter lilies, and then it happened again with the old man finding the big boy during our sing-along. Last time we went was May. This was before confirmation class ended for that school year, early May. Only this time, we noticed that the old man was not in the activity room. So big boy asked one of the nurses, where's the gentleman that's always in the wheelchair, who always sits with me? And the nurse said, he's down the hall, right-hand side, third door, but I want to warn you, he is dying. He's unconscious. But if you want to go down there and see him, I will go with you. So big boy went with the nurse, and there were tubes and wires all over the place. And that big, hulking, reluctant teenager did a holy thing. A holy thing. He grabbed the old man's hand and said hello. And the old man squeezed his hand back, and the boy knew that he had been heard. He awkwardly stood there for another minute, and then he slowly backed out of the room. And while backing out, he bumped into a woman, and she told him, "He's been waiting for you." He said that he did not want to die until he had the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time. And Matt said, "What do you mean?" She told him, "Well, my father said that once a month, Jesus would come to this place. He did say that Jesus was a lot bigger than he thought. But he would take my hand," Daddy said. "He would take my hand and hold my hand the whole time. And he said, I do not want to die until I have the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time." I don't know what you think the calling of God is, but I tell you, it is this. The calling of God is to do what Jesus would do if Jesus were in your place, to be like Jesus. The call and the will of God is to be like Christ, to be Jesus for people who are in need, to be Jesus for people who hurt, to be Jesus for people who are lonely. If you want to know Jesus, learn about Jesus, be Jesus. What does God want us to do with our lives? To know Christ, to become like him, to believe in others, to forgive as we've been forgiven, and to love unconditionally. Learn of him, know his ways, so that you may be like him. Amen.